We have read today concerning a blot in the character and the life of this man called David. David once penned a portion of Psalm 28. And this is what he stated in this particular psalm. I'm going to read it to you. You needn't turn to it. David could say, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." What lovely words these are. You see, there was a time in David's life when he trusted in the Lord. He said, "My heart trusted in Him." You see, conversion is a heart experience. It is not a head knowledge. It is a coming to an acknowledgement of your standing before God, realizing exactly what you are in His sight according to His truth. A willingness to repent of that which is within your heart. That sin problem which condemns us to hell and keeps us out of heaven. Acknowledging that we are a sinner and an acceptance of what Christ has done for us at the place called Calvary. David came one day in his life and he wholeheartedly trusted in the Lord. David was a young man who was marked out for great things. He had brothers. His father was a man by the name of Jesse. There were many people who are connected in and around the life of David himself. In fact, we are told that the Lord one day, and you'll read it in the earlier chapters of the book of Samuel here, you will discover God spoke to Samuel one day and he says, "Look, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. Well, there's one there that's going to be anointed king." You know the story where young Samuel went. This is the young lad who heard the call of God in the midnight hours. This is the young lad now was living for God as a man. This was a young man who knew what it was not only to walk with God, but to witness for God. And there he went to the house of Jesse, and he inquired of the household. You remind they began to parade the sons over this young man. And they came out one by one. We discovered that there was one particularly came out whose name was Eliab. He seemed to me to be a fine, strapping character to look upon. And as Samuel watched the men walking before him, we read it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." Even this great man of God, Samuel, can make mistakes. He was looking on the outward appearance and making his decision by what he saw. And if it would have been left to Samuel to make the decision, listen, he would have picked the wrong man. The place would have been in disarray. But thanks be to God, on that occasion, the Lord stepped into the situation, and it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And the Lord knew the heart of this man, that it wasn't right. And he certainly wasn't the individual for the work that God wanted to do. He wasn't the man of God's choice. And out of all the sons of Jesse, you will notice that they never even bothered to bring young David in from the field. They just treated him as an insignificant one. And then Samuel asked the question. He said, "Are here all thy children? Is this them all?" And Jesse answered, he says, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Now listen to this. And young David came off the field from the sheep. And he walked into his father's presence and into the presence of Saul. And the Bible says that he was a ruddy and he was of beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look upon. And as he came in before the presence of Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, "Arise. Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And David was specially chosen by God. He was anointed by Samuel to be king. And this young man, David, whose heart trusted in the Lord, was one who knew what it was to lean upon the Lord on a daily basis. Where did young David get his schooling? I love this, you know. He got his schooling and his training for God out on the hillside as he watched the sheep. And I tell you, when you watch sheep and you read about what the Lord spoke about sheep, you'll get a good picture of what the Church of Jesus Christ can be like. Boys, it can be a stubborn animal at times. And when one goes, they all go. And if there's a hole in the hedge, you've lost not only one, but they're all gone through it. And as David looked after the sheep on the mountainside, time and time again, David faced his problems and his difficulties. But I can see young David out on the mountainside, and he's singing the praise of his God. As you maybe would have said in the valley, you could have heard this young man play the harp. You could have heard this young man play the instrument. You could have heard this young man sing the wonderful songs of Zion. He was a young man who was in touch with God. And out there on that mountain, wild and perilous, and he learned to lean and to trust in the Lord. There were occasions when the animal came under attack. There were times when the bear came in to snatch away the sheep. There were times when the lions would have come in the evening and sought to take away that which belonged to David. And I am told that David was able to stand up against the bear and the lion and to take them on with his very bare hands. Why was he able to do this? Why was he able to accomplish such a task? Because of the presence of the Lord with him. When you read about David and about Goliath, do you mind the time that he came in off the field to his father?
And Jesse said to him, "Look, I want you to go down and see how your brethren's doing." And when David went down, he was inquiring about how things were going. And all of a sudden, this boy came out from the hillside on the far side. The boy who came out was this boy called Goliath, this Philistine, 9 feet plus tall. Monster of a man. And he came out bearing the armor. And the Philistine said these words. He said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And as Goliath stood up in defiance to the armies of Israel, and in defiance to the God of Israel, the Bible tells me when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Saul was like a lamb. David had the heart of a lion. Saul had lost out with God. The Spirit of the Lord had departed. But we are told that the Lord came upon David in all power and majesty. And as David stood in the midst of the crowd, and as this boy Goliath defied the armies of Israel and the God of Israel, David began to speak. He began to ask questions why this man was allowed to do what he did. David spoke with him, Eliab, his eldest brother, noticed this. And as young David inquired about Goliath, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness and thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "Is there not a cause?" David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" We need to stand against the evils of the day. Here was a man who was willing to stand in the liberty whereby he was made free. "Eliab, what have I done? Is there not a cause?" And David eventually went out to Goliath. But before he went out, he was brought in before Saul. And as he came in before Saul, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." "Saul, don't let your heart fail because of this boy. I go and take him on." And Saul looked at him. Saul said to David, he says, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now listen to this. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant," listen to it, "slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the hand, or out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." I want to tell you, the Lord was with David. He was with him
in the sheepfold. He gave him the power even to look after the sheep, to keep them safe from the attacks of wild beasts. And here's David acknowledging this truth. The Lord who was with me then will be with me now as I stand before this giant of a man called Goliath. David knew that that which was impossible with man was possible with God. And therefore, with boldness and with faith, he went out and he took the stones from the brook, 5 of them, and he put them in his pouch. And he walked out to the hillside, and Goliath laughed him to the face and scorned and mocked him. And David shot that stone right into the forehead of the giant, and he fell like a stone. And David removed his head, and he brought it in before Saul, and he saw Saul the giant defeated by the young man whom he said, "You couldn't do the job. You're only a youth." I tell you, David walked and lived close to the Lord. Is it any wonder I quoted that psalm this morning in Psalm 28? What a psalm it is. And psalm was a word that the Lord was his strength, and that the Lord was his help, and that his heart had trusted in the Lord, and with his song would he praise him. I want to tell you, David was walking in close communion and fellowship with God. But though the Word of God has wonderful things to say about him in his earlier day, even David had a great blot put upon his heart and upon his life. And it's wonderful the Lord didn't overlook it. He didn't hide it. And we have been reading about that this morning. Take a look there at this particular chapter we have read today. And I know my time is nearly gone already. You can see here in the opening verses that David has changed a little. You'll notice that it says that it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. There was the battle in array. The children of Israel were going forth. Now the question has got to be asked, where should David have been? Where was David? I put it to you today, David had got somewhat self-confident. He had maybe got a bit of an ego about himself. He had lost out. There was something missing here from his life. He had lost the zeal. He had lost the fire. He had lost the enthusiasm. David should have been out at the forefront of the battle. He should have been out leading by example. But my Bible tells me instead of David been out in the place that he ought to have been, my Bible says, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And what was he doing at Jerusalem? He didn't stay behind to do a day's work. He was lazing about on his bed right through till the evening time. He had become slothful. He had become lazy. And it can be a picture of the child of God. Maybe once in your life you were involved greatly in the work of God, and your heart was burning within you just to get out and to get at it. I want to tell you, from the day in order I got saved and I began to come in under the ministry of the Word, the Lord began to fire up my soul about serving Him in whatever fashion the Lord would have me to do. And I pray to God that I never lose that fire and that zeal in my soul. For the day it goes is the day I have to get out of the pulpit and get down on my knees and pray that God would give it back again. And
Maybe there's people here and you were once on fire for God, a zeal for God, a zeal for souls. But you're a bit like David today, you're lackadaisic. And maybe you've got away from the Word. And maybe the prayer time in your own personal life isn't in existence any longer. And I want to say this, when you get away from the Word and you get away from speaking to God, you'll have no desire to speak to people about the Lord. And maybe you have got slothful and lazy in your Christian life. And you can sit in that pew this morning and you can say, I am not today what I used to be for God. You're lying on the bed of ease in Christian service. God's speaking to someone here today. Oh, if it was something to do for God, it's a chore. You're asked to go on a bus or sit among the children, it's a chore, couldn't be bothered. May God forgive us. David once said, is there not a cause? And there is a cause. If ever this province needed to hear the gospel, it's today. If ever this nation needed to hear the gospel, it's today. And I often hear time and time again of people in the olden days in and around this city. I wasn't aware of it because I wasn't about the city much. But I knew a bit about it, maybe up around home. I heard about it later on in years. How there used to be open airs in every corner. And boys, they weren't ministers, no, they weren't pastors. They were just our laymen, or boys saved by the grace of God, who had a burning desire in their heart to win souls. I want to tell you something, is that not there no more? Gone. May God give us a heart to see that there is a cause. David was lying back on his ease. He sent others to do the work which he should have been involved in himself. Do you see, when you act like this, you're going to be in danger? Do you see the old devil? He has you where he wants you. See, if you're not out doing something for God, maybe if you're watching something on the TV, they're pulling you down. David, he was in bed. Then he thought, I'll go for a walk on the roof. See, the eye in the Bible is a wonderful study. And he walked out onto the roof and he viewed along the verandas of the houses. He seen a lovely girl. You know what she was doing? He was bathing. And when he seen her, he never walked away again. I want to tell you, it didn't annoy him. See, when you begin to get away from the Lord, sin will not just annoy you the way it should. And the Bible says he beheld and he looked upon her. And the wee thought here is a continual look. Couldn't get his eyes off her. And he watched her. Then he asked the question, "Who is that woman?" And he was been brought in here at the point where he was been led into sin. There was lust here through the eye. Eve got it, didn't she? And David was certainly lusting for what he saw. And when he saw this beautiful woman bathing herself, he inquired who she was, which is Bathsheba. And then when he inquired deeper, he discovered that she was not only Bathsheba, but that she was married to a boy called Uriah, the son of Eliam. And that didn't stop him. When he heard that, he should have turned away right away. Knowing the commandments of God, that adultery is forbidden. But when you get slothful in your Christian life, you're leaving yourselves open to the wiles of the devil. And through the idea here, as David saw this woman, he lusted, he inquired, he took. And willingly, unknowingly, he committed a terrible sin of adultery in the eyes of his God. And God didn't like it. You'll notice something, that this was all done in the house. Nobody saw it. The Lord observed it. And maybe there's things you're watching . Maybe there's things you're doing. You're dishonoring your Lord. And because you think no one knows anything about it, you think you can just go on ahead and do it. Is there someone with a problem in this room today with sin? Sin of pornography? Or some other type of sin? Do you know in your heart that you're not right with God? You know you're not where you once were? You've lost out? You've failed? You've faltered? And today the Lord's coming to you and he's revealing his truth to you. Why? Because he loves you. Who does the Lord chasten? Who does the Lord correct? Those whom he loveth. Hallelujah. And I don't stand in this pulpit and I don't speak to you because, listen to me, dear child of God, I have my faults and my failures, and at times God has come and I have felt the rod of correction. I have felt his love and his mercy in the very fact that he's been bringing me into line again. But you see where it started. It started as he lay at his ease, when he should have been out in the forefront of the battle. I'm going to have to finish because I don't have the time. This girl became pregnant. Be sure your sin will find you out. And not dabble with sin and get away with it, not even as a Christian. as many a poor child of God has dabbled in sin and has ruined their lives. Those pulpits in our own denomination tonight or today are empty. Why? Because of sin. Child of God, we need to be careful. We need to pray, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And I want to show you something. Oh, boys, I wish I'd known her. The sad thing is this. Do you see when he did it? Do you see when he found out about it? Sin will take you further than you want to go. What was the first thing he tried to do? He tried to cover over his sin. How? By sending word to Joab to send Uriah back home. Why? That he might go home and lie with his wife. And then the problem was David was feeling here would be diverted from him to Uriah. It's not my child, it's Uriah's. But Uriah didn't go. I want to tell you something too. You see, Uriah and Eliam, they were two men who were very close to David. And you will notice that on one occasion, David chose out 30-odd men. And Eliam and Uriah were two of those 30-odd men. I think about 36. They were close to David. And they knew David. And they were honourable to David. They were faithful to David as their king. But even those who were very close, David turned his back on them to cover up his own sin. And it didn't work out. And Uriah didn't do as David wanted. And it ended up, he says, Uriah, listen, I want you to take a letter to Joab out on the field. And he wrote out the letter and he says, look, he made sure and signed it and he made sure and he wrapped it up and he made sure and he sealed it. You could just imagine Uriah reading this letter, couldn't you? What's in the letter? Joab, I want you to send David to the hottest part of the battle. I want you to send Uriah to the hottest part of the battle. Why? Because I want him killed. Poor Uriah lost his life that particular occasion. And David again thought, why, I've got over this problem. And for a solid year, listen to this, he went on living as if nothing was wrong. And after the death and the burial, David took Bathsheba to be his wife. And they had a wee son. Didn't live too long. God took it away. And then one day a boy came to David and he says, David, I want to tell you a story. He told him a story. And David got angry. He says, who done such a thing as this? Tell me who done it. And old Nathan looked him in the eye and he says, David, you're the boy. David! You're the boy! You have done it. Do you see, when Nathan pinpointed his sin from the Lord, guilt was written all over him. To the extent, as Nathan said to David, he says, David, you're the one. You're the boy. Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I give thee thy master's house, and so on. And the Lord had done so much for him. David, after hearing it, said these words. He says, listen, Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And if you want to get the feeling of the depth of depravity that was in his heart, you go to Psalm 51. And you read how low he was in his spiritual end. He had lost the joy of salvation. He had lost his power with God. He needed to be brought to a point where he was willing to confess his sin. Child of God, listen, in this meeting today, you'll be of no use whatsoever to God. You come to that place where you're willing to admit your shortcoming to him. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you, he's a loving God. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Is it any wonder the hymn writer penned those words, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Child of God, maybe this is your meeting today. God speaking to your heart. Do as he tells you to do. Come and commit your life afresh to the Lord this very morning and leave this building the joy of the Lord in your heart. May God bless his truth to every soul in this house today for Jesus' sake.